Welcome to this week's episode of Mount Ararat Podcast. Please subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. Just click that red subscribe button, log in, and give us your support. Click the bell if you want notifications anytime we upload anything here on the channel. And if you would, share the videos on Reddit, on Facebook, on Twitter. Help get the word out, not about me, but about Pro Wrestling Noah. Wrestling done right. I thank you for your support. Now let's get to the desk and start this week's show. Welcome to Mount Ararat Podcast, episode 20, Making Waves for Pro Wrestling Noah. I'm Adam Lavelle of WrestlingDoneRight.com, the Noah Network. We're going to kick this week's show off with only one show review. Now, believe me, we're going to make up for this in the coming weeks. So many shows coming up. But one show review, two show previews, and then, of course, the Noah News before we finish this week's episode off. The event we're going to be talking about, that we're going to review to kick off this show, is Sunny Voyage from Yokohama Radiant Hall on Friday, the 24th of June. This is a pretty solid show. It was what many would consider just a spot show, nothing special, but I really enjoyed it, especially this opening match. Believe it or not, I really like the Funky Express, Muhammad Yone, and Akitashi Sayato, taking on Atsushi Kotogi and Kenya Okada. This was a different match. Now, of course, Funky Express is a regular team. They team regularly. Oh, don't want to knock my microphone down here. But Kotogi and Okada is not a team you're going to see very often. Now, what I liked about this is it was very hard-hitting. Anytime you see Muhammad Yone in the ring with Kenya Okada, you know you got something special. Every once in a while, two opponents just have it, meaning when they face off, it is enjoyable. It is good. It is exciting. There's always something. And Kenya Okada against Muhammad Yone is something I could see every show. I really could. They're just hard-hitting, make you believe they're fighting, make you believe that they want to hurt the other one, take each other out. But here, we started with Saito taking on Kenya Okada. And I'm telling you, something has possessed Saito. Akitoshi Saito has been amazing the last several matches I have watched. Not that he's ever really been bad, but he's clearly in the twilight of his career. And I don't say that in an insulting manner, but it's just a fact. He's in the twilight of his career. But the last two or three matches, he really seems to have turned it up. I don't know if it was the Funky Express losing a member or what, or them being considered a sort of a joke tag team or a humor, that's made him want to say, look, we may wear colorful clothing and we may dance to the ring, but when we get in there and the bell rings, we're as tough as anybody, because that's how this man's been wrestling. And he got in there against a much younger Kenya Okada and pretty much drove him backwards, beat him up pretty badly, even though Kenya defended himself well. But he had just tagged in Atsushi Kotogi because he had had enough of Saito. And Saito just walked over and tagged Yone. So now we got, very quickly in the matchup, we got Yone versus Kotogi. And this is a good matchup, but it's not as good as Yone versus Kenya Okada. Now, that isn't saying it's bad. It just isn't as fiery. It just isn't as bold. It is a heavyweight against a junior heavyweight. And Yone pretty much tossed Kotogi around, although Kotogi, again, like Okada, held tight. The match sort of turned around a little bit at this point when Kotogi and Okada started doing some double teams on Yone. Got in there, did a double back elbow, knocked him down, tripped him up, held him down, and Kotogi delivered his big leaping jumping knee onto Yone's head and took him down for some time. But before long, Yone was back up on his feet doing his disco poses while Saito's beating him up, meaning Kotogi outside the ring, running him into the ring post, doing a number on him, tossing him back in the ring so Yone can get a big leg drop on him, and then get a head or neck crank on him, to where Yone just grabbed Kotogi's head and chin and twisted like he was trying to rip the top off of a beer bottle. Saito came in, took over, got his big hanging suplex, stalling suplex, if you will, on Kotogi, where he holds him there pretty much as long as he wants to. It's a great move from Saito. Kotogi bounced back, though, delivering a huge jumping elbow drop to the top of the head, starting to make a big comeback, finished that up with a flying dropkick into the side of the inside of his face and tagged in Kenya Okada. And now here it was a different story. Kenya Okada came in with an advantage and really started taking it to Akitoshi Saito with those huge kicks to the chest, knocking him down. But at one point, after falling down, after taking one of Okada's moves, one of his kicks, Saito lands on his back and uses his legs to trip Okada up. It's a veteran move. Tags in Yone, who takes control, clotheslining Okada, suplexing Okada. But then the double teams from Okada and Katogi get them back in the match. Katogi hits a big flying knee off the top rope as Kenya Okada holds Muhammad Yone in place. So that was the story of this match. Okada then gets the big gut-wrench suplex on Yone, and the younger guys take control, then kicking and taking it to Saito pretty strongly. But again, this was the story of this match. It took double-team maneuvers from Katogi and Okada to gain control of this. If not for those double-team maneuvers, the Funky Express, Yone and Saito, would have had control of this match the entire way. Now, again, wouldn't have been a squash match. They wouldn't have killed them because, of course, Okada and Katogi are great at defensive wrestlers. I would argue that both of them pretty much work from the defensive position. Excuse me. And at one point, towards the end of the match, Okada did get Yone in the Boston Crab while Katogi held Saito outside the ring. But Saito breaks free, comes in, and hammers Okada in the back. Doesn't really knock him down, but it does break up the hold, and now Okada's facing both Saito and Yone in the ring, who now have their own chance at a double team, and they work Okada over pretty good, with Saito actually getting a pretty decent choke slam on Okada at one point. Yone then takes over with stiff forearms to the face, knocking Okada around and into the corner as Saito worked Katogi outside the ring. This led to Yone finally getting, when I say finally, they went, he and Okada were really going back and forth with the forearms, with the strong style shots, if you will, until Yone clearly had enough of them, knocked Okada into the corner, and got him up for his meat buster, if you will, muscle buster. Got him up for that, laid him out, got the win, a big solid win for the Funky Express, who I think, since Shuhei left them, they've actually looked a little better. Was he holding them back in some way? I don't know. But I think the Funky Express have looked better since they lost Shuhei Taniguchi. I have to keep an eye on this going forward, but a big win here to kick off the show in a great tag team match, in my opinion. Second match was Daiki Inaba taking on Simon Gotch. Now, I said on last week's show that this was important for both men, but I predicted Daiki Inaba because I really don't feel Simon Gotch has been on much of a role in Pro Wrestling Noah. He has looked good. I'm pretty sure he's an official member of Stinger now, which is nothing but a huge compliment, but he's been losing far more than he's been winning. But my prediction was wrong here. We're jumping to the end, of course, boiling this. But Simon Gotch came out all excited the way that he does, pumped up, riled up with his big scary mask. Daiki Inaba came out as serious as it could be, just stood in his corner waiting for the match to begin. They felt each other out for a while, but this instantly went to the ground. This became some classical mat wrestling for the first several minutes of this. Maybe longer than several minutes. And now that's not a complaint. I enjoy catch-as-catch-can mat-style wrestling, and that's what this was. Each of them wrestling, trying to gain control. Think of a Funaki match. It was similar to that. These guys just trying to subdue one of each other, get a reversal, hold each other down, gain an advantage, all mat wrestling. Now, of course, this led to Simon Gotch doing a move that he's constantly doing that I've criticized time and again on here. When I first saw the move, I was a big fan of it. I liked how he takes his own foot, his own leg, when he has his opponent down on the ground, and it is much better when he does it on the ground than when he does this when they're standing up. And when he grabs his own foot and uses it as a weapon, like takes his own foot and just rams it into his opponent's head, neck, wherever he can reach. And of course, he did this here against Daiki Inaba. My argument against that is that he's just doing it too much. It's lost all specialness. even it's lost all comedy value, even when it made you chuckle the first time you saw him do it. Now he's doing it so much that it sort of makes you groan. It's just overdone, in my opinion. But it did give him an advantage until they did get to their feet after reaching the ropes, and Daiki Inaba gained some control, nailing some big elbow drops and getting the fight to the outside. They battled each other on the outside, onto the ring apron, traded shots, traded jabs on the ring apron until Daiki Inaba won that and slammed, got Simon Gotch down on his back on the ring apron. Now the problem with that is that Simon Gotch then quickly hammered Daiki Inaba pretty good into where Daiki Inaba was laying prone across the ring apron. This allowed Simon Gotch to leap into the air and hit a senton onto a prone Daiki Inaba. But instead of taking advantage of that, Simon Gotch decides to do a taunt. He rolls into the ring and sits Indian or CM Punk style, whatever you want to call it, center of the ring, hands clasped, taunting him. Should have rolled him back in and tried for the pinfall there, but he did not. Daiki Inaba makes his way into the ring only to be greeted with stiff kicks from Simon Gotch, followed by a huge leaping elbow drop to the small of the back in the corner. And then this led to a big chokehold from Simon Gotch, where he got under Daiki Inaba's chin and just reared back with all his strength. You could see the pain, you could see the anguish in Daiki Inaba's face here. This is not a good hold to find yourself in with a wrestler like Simon Gotch. But Daiki Inaba did work his way out of it, got to the ropes, stood up, picked up Simon Gotch, and delivered it sort of a modified fisherman suplex here to gain some control backward, drove Simon Gotch into the corner, and delivered his running flip bomb, his splash, his flip splash into the corner, knocking Simon Gotch pretty senseless. Daiki Inaba stood Simon Gotch up and delivered an octopus or an abdominal stretch here. I thought he maybe should have gone for the pinfall here because Simon Gotch looked a little out of it. Instead, Daiki Inaba continued to work that octopus stretch, that abdominal stretch, trying to use his long legs to make Simon Gotch submit. Simon Gotch managed to wiggle his way out of it and started to deliver huge blows to the back of the head and the neck of Daiki Inaba to gain the control back until he had him overpowered and worn down and picked him up and delivered that Gotch-style pile driver. I'm telling you, that is a wicked maneuver, one of the best pile drivers in the business, and not just Simon Gotch, but that style. A shame some WWE guys can't use that because they can't pile drive there anymore. Pretty weak, but a great move. Daiki Inaba's not kicking out of that, even though he's kicked out of some amazing things with matches like Marufuji. He didn't kick out here. Simon Gotch wore him down, got the big win I believe he desperately needed. Again, I predicted against him. I was wrong. Here, Simon Gotch managed to win this, but I feel he really needed to win this because this was the first big win he's had in a few weeks, in about a month maybe. So it's good to see Simon Gotch on the winning side, especially if he is absolutely representing Stinger now. So this was a great second match. If you love mat wrestling, if you love catch-as-catch-can style, if you love two guys just fighting to gain control, this match was for you. It was a good, solid match. Just under 10 minutes long. To me, it's perfect timing. And Simon Gotch again gets the big win. The third match of this show was Manabu Soya, the enforcer of Congo, taking on El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. Now, the story here is this was supposed to be Rene Dupree, but it was announced shortly before this card that Rene Dupree was unable to participate due to a medical condition. I had to do a little bit of a dive to find out what that was. Turns out it was a stomach virus, a stomach bug, something he'll recover from quickly. Actually, Rene Dupree blamed it on eating McDonald's food over in Japan, and he shouldn't have done that. He feels like he got a bad burger or two. But he's laid up here, couldn't participate. So taking his place is his tag team partner, the two-time former GHC heavyweight tag team champion, a partner with Rene Dupree when they held those belts, El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. Now, again, here's Manabu Soya really just meandering around, being a big, badass, tough wrestler who can't get a win, and he's not getting a win here either. This match was a little under 10 minutes as well. As always, as is typically the case, Manabu Soya looked good, but not good enough. This match ends up going to the outside a little bit. Manabu Soya gets stunned. El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. goes inside the ring and does his running tope suicida, gets Soya back into the ring, leaps off to the top rope. I mean, for as big as Wagner Jr. is, he does hit those lucha moves pretty clean and pretty nicely. He then takes a dazed Soya and gets him in an octopus hold, an octopus stretch, works him over pretty good. Manabu boosts Soya, slowly makes his way to the ropes, takes over, gets the break, and then comes back a little bit, hits him with a big slam, another big elbow drop to the top of the head in the center of the ring, and then locks in a head scissors. Manabu Soya locks Wagner Jr. in a head scissors. Nothing wrong with that move, but you're not going to wear out or even really wear down a guy as big as Wagner Jr. in a head scissors. Now, granted, Manabu Soya has some huge, huge tree trunk style legs, and I wouldn't want to be in a head scissors by him, but I'm not the size of El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. And I really feel like this was a sort of a mistake because Wagner Jr. recovers from this pretty quickly and they just stand face to face in muscular poses, if you will. Manabu Soya trying to intimidate El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. Again, that's not going to work. But Manabu Soya did manage to land his spear on him shortly after that, and both wrestlers are laying prone on the mat. This is where my issue with Manabu Soya, not with him personally, comes up. Not with him personally, but with the idea that this man is big and is strong and is the enforcer of one of the best factions, one of the best units in wrestling, he just can't win. Here he looks great, and this both men laying prone in the center of the ring towards the about 75% of the way through the match makes it look like, wow, you know, these two are pretty evenly matched. This is pretty solid. But in the end, as is almost always the case, Manabu Soya doesn't get the win. He does jump up here. He's the first to his feet and hits Wagner Jr. with a DVD driver, which is great, but it's not enough to hold Wagner Jr. down. He comes back and gets the win shortly after that move. So I don't know what Noah is doing with Manabu Soya. I'm not here to argue that he should be the champion or that he should be the biggest star in the company, and I'm not here saying there's a damn thing wrong with Wagner Jr. Nothing at all. But I think it's time to put Manabu Soya with guys that you know he's going to beat, like some young guys or something, just to get some wins piled up. I really think he needs a comeback. Again, even if it's against clear lesser competition, he needs to build his reputation back up. Right now, his reputation is he's the tough guy that can hang with anyone, but defeats very few. I just think that needs corrected at least a little bit. You got to have guys in wrestling that fill this role. You do. And Manabu Soya fills the role well. Like, he's the enforcer of Congo. He's the guy everybody's got to go through first. But everybody goes through him. And here, Wagner Jr. wins and then says he's coming after all of Congo. I mean, what a tough ass this guy thinks he is. I mean, we'll see if his butt can cash the checks his mouth is writing or not. But he's going to come after all of Congo, and this was the beginning? Whew. Bold statement, my friend. You start working your way up to Kenno and Nakajima, you may be wishing those were words you never uttered. But we'll have to see how serious this guy is in being the Congo killer, the guy who's coming after all. Why? What inspired him to do that? Just thinks the unit is something he can make his name on in pro wrestling, Noah? Good luck with that, my friend. Match 4. Now, I had a prediction about this match, and I was right here. Okay, I was correct in my prediction on the last episode of Metal Era Podcast. Let's take a look at what I'm talking about. The Tough Trio, Michael Elgin, Masa Kitamiya, and Yoshiki Inamura. Of course, Elgin and Kitamiya are the current GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Took on the Segura Army, Takashi Segura himself, Hideki Suzuki, and Timothy Thatcher. I mean, this was just a huge fight. These men just used their power to go at one another as much as they possibly could, tossing each other around, vying for dominance every way they could. I really loved it. I really think this match was awesome. Inamura and Timothy Thatcher started out. Look, I am a big Tough Trio fan. I love our GHC Tag Team Champions. I think they are great. Michael Elgin's one of my favorite gaijins over here by far. But Timothy Thatcher's up there too. So seeing Inamura, an absolute power wrestler, which he is, taking on an absolute catch-as-catch-can style wrestler, which Timothy Thatcher is, was definitely an interesting styles clash. Now, sometimes you hear the word styles clash as a negative. Here it was not. I absolutely loved how Timothy Thatcher was trying to get hip tosses and arm bars, and Inamura would just power out of them. You know what I mean? Timothy Thatcher would lock on one of those double arm underhook arm bars, and with one arm, Inamura would just power, break the grip and power out of it. Like, I don't think so, Timothy Thatcher. He did it twice. At one point, Thatcher even was on one knee trying to use leverage to pull Inamura's arm out into a double underhooked arm bar. And Inamura was like, nope. And he just reared back and used his strength to power out of it again. Thatcher then tags in Takashi Sugiura. You know, okay, tough guy, here you go. And Sugiura is one of the baddest asses in all of professional wrestling. But Inamura is to a point where he's not the least bit afraid of him. He's not intimidated. He won't back down. And he stood face to face with Takashi Sugiura. And they went at it for a short while until Inamura tagged in Michael Elgin. And there's another wonderful matchup. The immensely and unbelievably strong, built like a freaking brick wall, Michael Elgin versus Takashi Sugiura. And Michael Elgin pretty much got the better of Sugiura at the beginning, picking him up, throwing him around, hitting backbreakers, driving Sugiura to tag in his partner Hideki Suzuki. Now here we got, just like the first matchup of this match, a power wrestler, even though Michael Elgin is about more than just power, absolutely, taking on a catch-as-catch-can guy. Now what surprised me is Sugiura tried to match strength with Michael Elgin. Now look, no matter how good Hideki Suzuki is, trying to match strength with Michael Elgin was a mistake, and he paid for that. Michael Elgin, now he did put up a good fight power-wise, more than I thought he would. But again, Michael Elgin wins out, takes Hideki Suzuki to his knees. But even though you win a power move, the way Michael Elgin did here, a test of strength, if you will, getting Hideki Suzuki on the ground isn't necessarily a good thing, because that's where he dominates, and that might have been why he was testing him in his strength, trying to throw Elgin off, and he trips Elgin up and gets a big leg lock, knee hook onto him. Elgin sits out of it, gets a headlock on Suzuki. Suzuki's trying to get out of this because, again, you don't want your head squeezed like a pimple by Michael Elgin. Gets to the ropes, fights out of it. Elgin tags in his tag team partner, Masa Kitamiya, one half of the tag team champions. And he then begins to toss around Suzuki, who tags in Thatcher. Okay, let's get the power guy against the catch-as-catch-can guy again, but a different one this time. Thatcher comes in a little more fresh, a little more strong, a little more determined, and starts to get the upper hand on Masa Kitamiya until they fight to the outside. Kitamiya gets back in the ring after the fight to the outside, and Michael Elgin jumps out and hammers Timothy Thatcher around and tosses him back into the ring, and Inamura gets tagged in, and he now has a chance to get some dominance on Timothy Thatcher. And he does so. Takes Timothy Thatcher, wears him down to the ground, gets his own armbar on him. Tags Michael Elgin in, who continues the dominance over Thatcher, tossing him hard into the corner, delivering stomps and kicks and a big fisherman, modified fisherman suplex. He tags back in Inamura, who continues to back Thatcher up into a corner, picks him up, delivers slams, until Thatcher makes the tag to Sugiura, who takes over, throws Inamura into the corner, and delivers a big running kick to the head. Inamura fails at suplexing Sugiura. Instead, Sugiura throws Inamura into the turnbuckle and hits him with a huge superplex. I was a little worried it might have been over here, but Inamura kicks out, stands up, and gets a big slam on Sugiura and tags in Michael Elgin, who comes in and once again continues to deliver against a guy like Takashi Sugiura until Sugiura recovers from Michael Elgin's attack and nails a spear. Tags in Hideki Suzuki and he hits the backward neck breaker, the rude awakening, if you will, on Elgin. But hey, look, Elgin must have a 30-inch neck. My neck's like 23 inches. Elgin's got to be, you know, 28. It's got to be much bigger than mine. And that doesn't hurt him that badly. He's quickly on his feet, picking up Hideki Suzuki and literally just throwing him around. Throwing him around like a sack of potatoes, hitting a huge standing suplex on him, and then just gets in the face of Hideki Suzuki and screams at him, basically, like, I'm a monster, I'm a badass, as good as you are, what are you going to do to me, pal? You ain't going to submit me, that's for sure. These teams go at it until Elgin and Suzuki are flat on their backs, both exhausted from one another, tagging in other tag team partners. In comes Masa Kitamiya and Timothy Thatcher once more. Thatcher takes control of this, suplexes, underhook suplexes Masa Kitamiya, throws him around until Masa Kitamiya does nail a huge shoulder block and a running senton on Timothy Thatcher. His partner, Michael Elgin, comes in and they hit a double sandwich clothesline on Timothy Thatcher. And I thought we were probably approaching the end here. Masa Kitamiya nails a pile driver on Timothy Thatcher. But Timothy Thatcher catches Masa Kitamiya as he comes in a deep, deep armbar. He has this locked. His eyes look crazed. His facial expression look crazed. Hideki Suzuki comes in and captures Michael Elgin in a sleeper hold. Takashi Sugura is taking care of Inamura on the outside, and Masa Kitamiya cannot go without tapping out, because who would want their shoulder and arm joints messed up to a point that you have to forfeit your titles because you can't defend them? And Timothy Thatcher wins with a tap out here. Now, I thought if Segura Army were going to win this, and I predicted they probably would, that they would make Inamura tap or pin him. But no. Masa Kitamiya, one half of the tag team champions, tapped out to Timothy Thatcher, which led to a situation I predicted would happen. I predicted that two of these people, now I thought it might have been Segura and Suzuki, the former tag champions here, but no, since Tim Thatcher got the tap out on one half of the champions, he and Hideki Suzuki then challenged Elgin and Masa Kitamiya for the tag team titles, and Elgin and Kitamiya gladly accepted because they've been looking for a challenge for some time, and here they come. The Segura Army are the former tag team champions. Elgin and Kitamiya did not defeat them, though. The Segura Army were defeated by the Segura Army. Tashi Segura and Hideki Suzuki were defeated by Wagner Jr. and Rene Dupree, who then lost the titles to Elgin and Kitamiya. Now we've got one half of the former champions, Suzuki, with a new partner, also from the Segura Army, of course, Timothy Thatcher, will now challenge for these tag team titles. And that should be an excellent match, just like this one was. This was nearly 20 minutes long. Perfect time length for something like this. All six men here look terrific, and the excitement for this tag team match is building from this matchup. This did its job. This served the purpose. It got us new challengers for the tag team titles and what should be an excellent matchup. Match 5. Now, here's a match that was absolutely hurt by Rene Dupree's stomach virus and his ability to work here. This was supposed to be Goji Ozaki versus Rene Dupree, which would have been great. Instead, we got Goji Ozaki versus Shuhei Taniguchi. Now, I hate to sit here and ridicule or put down Shuhei Taniguchi. I respect him. I think he's a hell of a worker, and I think he's strong, and I would like to see him do well. But he clearly isn't. It's just a fact. Since breaking from the Funky Express, he's done nothing special. Well, I mean, he hasn't got any major wins. He's gotten some wins, but nothing special. Nothing that's lit the world on fire. He's not showing me anything other than a willingness to be more serious and not wanting to be part of the Funky Express, which is great and his prerogative, and I support him in that. But I don't know. I'm just Goji Ozaki versus Shuhei Taniguchi isn't a match that excited me. You know Goji Ozaki's winning this. You know it. He's not going to lose to Shuhei Taniguchi. Probably wouldn't have lost to Rene Dupree either, but it would have been a better match. Just this wasn't bad. Shuhei Taniguchi's a solid hand, and this was basically Shuhei Taniguchi trying to keep up with one of the best wrestlers in the world. Doing a fairly decent job at it, you know, applying your typical arm bars and holds and maneuvers. Actually slamming Goji Ozaki outside the ring on the ring apron, like one of the, where they're both on the ring apron, and he jumps up and slams on his way down to the floor Goji Ozaki on the apron. Not a big fan of moves like that. He then runs Goji Ozaki into the ring post. They fight into the crowd a little bit. Shuhei Taniguchi dominates that, tosses him back into the ring, stomps him into the corner until Goji Ozaki begins to come back with shoulder tackles and blocks and his machine gun chops with Taniguchi in the corner. He uses his lariats and his clotheslines to take Taniguchi down. Doesn't hold him down. It's going to take more than one lariat or even two to take Shuhei Taniguchi out. He comes back with a big power slam, a big underhook suplex, and a choke slam on the former GHC champion. I'm running through this kind of quick, guys, because this match didn't really do much for me. Again, solidly worked. Nothing wrong with it, but it just, I I don't get excited for this matchup because I know the winner and I know the formula. Taniguchi gets Goji Ozaki on the top turnbuckle, wants to hit a choke slam from there, it appears. Instead, Ozaki picks him up from the ground in a suplex position, drives him down, gets back up, and delivers the Go Fusion, or whatever it's called, the suplex that he hits a clothesline on the way down. That's not enough to hold Taniguchi down either, who comes back with a big German suplex and his own clothesline. I mean, Taniguchi did some incredible looking clotheslines of his own here, some lariats. If you're going to pull out the lariat against one of the modern day kings of the lariat, they better be good, and he looked good here. One point they even ran to each other with double clotheslines, but Taniguchi was having no luck in getting the champion down for any longer than a two count. There was one point in the match where it was like 2 3/4 and made the crowd gasp a little bit, because even the idea of Shuhei Taniguchi coming close to pinning Goji Ozaki is insane. But he did one time, but Goji Ozaki finally just said, no, this is over, nails a huge lariat on him and gets the win. 13 minutes long, pushing 14 minutes long. I thought it was a little too much. I feel Goji Ozaki gave Taniguchi too much. I feel like Goji Ozaki gave Taniguchi what he would have given Rene Dupree. I imagine Dupree probably would have went about 20 minutes with him. Just my guess. But I feel like, you know, hey, Goji Ozaki was like, if I can't have the match where I'm putting Rene Dupree over a little bit more, maybe I can do that to Shuhei Taniguchi. And he tried. But I don't know what's up with Taniguchi. I really don't know why he left Funky Express. I think his gimmick was kind of good in Funky Express. I mean, he was King Tani. He wore the big necklace and the crown. But when the bell rang, he got in there and kicked serious ass. See, that's what I like about the Funky Express. You can have a silly gimmick. It doesn't bother me. They're not over the top. You know, like some of the gimmicks in America are so embarrassingly over the top, I can't stand them. But the Funky Express coming out in boas and doing little disco moves to their music, you know, and wearing flashy colors and clothing and light up sunglasses, that doesn't bother me, especially because once the bell rings, they get in there and work seriously. Yes, they have some disco taunt poses, just little simple taunts, no big deal, because the match is worked seriously. Taniguchi has broken out of that, which is, again, his prerogative, and I kind of respect him for it. But it's not benefited him yet in any way. And while Ozaki made him look good here, look at the ending was never in doubt to anybody with any kind of sense. I mean, they had to give us some match. They gave us Goji Ozaki. This isn't a complaint. It's just me saying this match really wasn't for me. I'm sorry that I kind of flew through the review of it here. Because there was nothing wrong with it. Nothing. I mean, compared to the stuff a lot of wrestling companies are putting out there today, this was 5-star. But just knowing Noah the way that I do and loving Noah as much as I do, this match, again, not being bad, just didn't have no interest in it. I watched it. I appreciated it. But it did nothing for me, if you will. It was just there. Sorry. Main event time, guys. Satoshi Kojima and Kaito Kiyomiya teaming up to take on my Congo boys, Kenno and Katsuhiko Nakajima, two of the best wrestlers in the world by far. Kenno and Nakajima are two of my favorites, though their unit is my absolute favorite, and I really think these guys deserve to be on top of the wrestling world, both of them, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Kicked off with Kongo coming out, Nakajima and Kenno actually posing together. You know, Nakajima doesn't go back and sit in the corner when he's just teaming with Kenno, because he knows he stands right there by his side. The GHC Heavyweight Champion, Kojima, comes out, and Kiyomiya. That's a formidable team, the current GHC Heavyweight Champion and the former champion. Well, that's the same way with, here we got four GHC champions in the ring. The current one and three former. That's huge. They're facing off in a tag team matchup. It started, of course, with Kenno versus Kojima, because this is a preview of their upcoming match. I believe that's July 16th, if I'm remembering correctly. So we want to see them face off as we prepare to see them face off for the GHC title. Went pretty well. I actually got to a point where Kojima retreated to the outside of the ring, backed off of Kenno. A lot of stiff kicks going on there. Nakajima comes in after Kojima tags in Kitamiya. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to follow along here with my notes, with my memories, with my pictures. And sort of arrogantly takes care of Kiyomiya, who's now in the match. Him and Kenno work him over in a double team a little bit. Nakajima and takes his kicks, especially his low kicks, chopping Kiyomiya down to size a little bit, getting him a little worn down, until Kiyomiya slams the former champion Nakajima to the mat, leaps into the air with a giant elbow. This, of course, inspires Nakajima to fight back hard as ever, knocking him down and going for a cover on Kiyomiya by placing his foot on his chest. Now, what amazed me about here, what shocked me about this part of the match, is the referee came over and made the count. Now, he only got to two, but usually, in Pro Wrestling Noah, when a wrestler attempts to pin another wrestler by just placing his foot on his chest, the referee won't count. They'll tell him, like, no, I don't know if it's a disrespect thing. It's like, no, that's not in a cover. I'm not counting this. And usually the wrestler with the foot on the chest is not happy about that, but that's how it is. Here, the referee made a count. I was surprised at that. I don't know what the difference was. Nakajima then just basically waits for Kitamiya to sit up and starts delivering those ridiculously good and brutal boots. One to the chest, one to the back, one to the chest, one to the back. Look at Kiyomiya's face here. Look at the anguish on his face taking these ridiculous kicks from Nakajima. Kenno then runs across the ring and knocks Kojima down to the outside while Nakajima, and I'm going to be honest here, folks, sometimes Kojima and Nakajima, they're not necessarily a tongue twister, but sometimes when I pause, that's why. Don't say Nakajima when you mean Kojima and vice versa. So forgive me if I pause during this review. That's why it's happening, okay? Because I don't want to mix those two names up. They aren't the same, and they aren't ridiculously close, but they're just enough that sometimes I'm worried I'm going to say the wrong one. Kenno and Nakajima continue the double teaming on Kitamiya, which seemed to be a theme here. They knock Kitamiya into their corner, delivering kicks and leg drops and slaps, and Nakajima just puts the boots to Kitamiya's face, kicking him over and over, again trying to pin him with a foot on the chest. Kojima comes in, doesn't really come in, comes down to the side, further down the side of his ring, yells at the ref, yells at Nakajima. He's tired of the double teaming. He's tired of the disrespect. Nakajima responds to Kojima by just putting a knee into the back of Kiyomiya, getting one of his legs and rearing back with a modified single leg Boston Crab, trying to make the young guy scream in agony and tap out. I know Nakajima knows that Kiyomiya is not going to tap out from that, but he just wants to put him in pain. He then lets the move go and just mocks Kojima. Now, you know damn well that Katsuhiko Nakajima wants a GHC title shot. You know he does. I could see it in this matchup. Now, he knows his friend and partner and unit partner, Kenno, is getting his shot. But I could tell by the way Nakajima and Kojima interacted here that Nakajima would love that shot as well. Now, I'm not saying there's any tension. I didn't see any tension between Nakajima and Kenno. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that I know that Nakajima wants a title shot. What I personally, just taking a time out from this match here for a second, what I personally would love to see is Kenno defeat Kojima for the title. Because I really feel like, and I like Kojima, I don't see him as a dad and an old man. I don't. But I feel like he got this title sort of as a, hey, you're a great worker here. You're going to become one of the few men in history to hold the New Japan title, the All Japan title, and the Pro Wrestling Noah title, the Grand Slam. We're going to give it to you. I don't look for him to keep the title long. I wouldn't mind Kenno defeating him for that title and then Nakajima challenging. They can remain friends. They can remain partners. I mean, for crying out loud, they brought Funaki into Congo after he defeated Kenno for the national title. So there's no reason Nakajima and Kenno have to be enemies to fight. And I think it's two of the best wrestlers in the world, two of the best wrestlers in Noah facing off. But, you know, I digress, so we're getting away from this match. Kenno's tagged back in. He continues the dominance of Kiyomiya here, just kicks and stomps, and to the point to where Kiyomiya is standing, but he actually is collapsed and his head is pressed into the chest of Kenno, who just taunts him. They've got this kid exhausted. They've got him worn down. They're not going to beat him this easily, but they've got him worn down and they've got him tired. Finally, Kiyomiya does escape and makes the tag into Nakajima, who comes in and takes over Kenno, knocking him into the corner and hitting his own version of those machine gun chops. he and Goji Ozaki use such a similar moveset. I mean, between their lariats and their machine gun chops, they're very similar. I would say at this point in their careers, Shiozaki's, how can I say he's better when he just lost the title to Kojima? But generally, I still think he's a little better. But again, I'm a fan of Kojima, and I have nothing against him having this title. Nothing. Nothing. Makes a great GHC heavyweight champion. Very respectful. But he's taking control of Kenno here. But Kenno rolls to the outside, pulls Kojima out, and buries his head into the ringside post. Then gets him back into the ring, calls for Nakajima to lift his knee, and rams Kojima into Nakajima's knee. Tags Nakajima in, and Nakajima proceeds to just kick the living hell out of the champion Kojima, knocking him into the corner and doing his famous pose where he puts his feet in directly into the face of his opponent and uses it as leverage to lay across the middle rope and drape himself there and look at the crowd saying, "Look what I'm doing to your champion." And he does it in two different corners. Then rears down onto Kojima in a big underhook chin lock, trying to get him submit. He will not do it, of course. So Nakajima tags Kenno back in, who takes over with kicks and stomps to the down champion, finally running and nailing a big knee lift into the face of the champion, who's in the corner, driving him down with a double knee stomp to the sternum. Kojima fights out, makes the tag, and Kiyomiya, a refreshed Kaito Kiyomiya, comes in, nails a drop kick on Nakajima, nails a drop kick on Kenno, climbs to the top rope and hits a huge missile drop kick on Kenno. Kenno isn't having it though, locks him into a headlock and hits a bulldog, tags in Nakajima, who hits a big running drop kick to the chin of Kiyomiya, followed by an enziguri to the back of the head, and then Nakajima just stands over the falling Kiyomiya. They have the kid down again. They have him in trouble. Kiyomiya does fight back. They chop and kick and punch each other for some time, and finally they just butt heads. Not a headbutt, but they just come nose to nose, head to head in the center of the ring. Katsuhiko Nakajima and Kaito Kiyomiya. And that's when it happens. Nakajima nails the famous slap to the jaw, to the neck, to the ear. The way he knocked out the DD champion Endo, he nails Kiyomiya with it, and Kiyomiya falls face first to the canvas with Nakajima standing above him saying, "Get up, son. Get up. Knockout artist Nakajima." I love it. I hope they use it even more than they have been. Kiyomiya does get up, though. He's not knocked out here. Fights back and hits that underhooked backward German suplex where he has the arms hooked, and Nakajima looks to be in trouble, but he escapes and hits a spinning heel kick, and both men make tags to their prospective partners. Here comes Satoshi Kojima and Kenno to battle it out one more time at the end of this match. Kojima almost did it. Kojima gets Kenno in the corner and once again delivers those ridiculous machine gun chops, then delivers a flying elbow drop. Kenno, though, then hooks him and nails a suplex and double stomps him in the center of his back. Kenno then hooks a ankle lock. Looks like, you know, the famous Kurt Angle ankle lock. Locks that in on Kojima, who is screaming in agony, but fights out and delivers a huge standing suplex. Nakajima then comes in. Kiyomiya comes in. Nakajima nails Kiyomiya with a super kick to the side of the jaw. And that leaves Kojima alone with Nakajima and Kenno, who take turns as if they're playing tennis or ping pong, table tennis, if you will, takes turns just kicking the hell out of Kojima. One to the back, one to the chest, one to the back, one to the chest, one to the back, one to the chest. This wears Kojima down. He hits the canvas hard. Kenno climbs the top rope to deliver his double stomp finisher, flies off the top, but Kojima rolls out of the way, and the time limit expires. We've got a 30-minute time limit draw here. Kenno is then on the microphone. Of course he is. He's challenging Nakajima, telling him he's going to run him back to New Japan, telling him that he's taking that GHC title, telling him that he should not represent Noah. But Kojima then takes the mic himself and says he's proud. He isn't Noah. That Kenno needs to remember that some time ago, he came into Noah from somewhere else himself, and to stop using that against him. Hisami reports that these two then fought in the backstage, using chairs, throwing themselves into chairs and kicks and just a street fight in the back locker room area as both of them are charged up, waiting to face off on July 16th for that prestigious Global Honored Crown Heavyweight Championship. This was a solid show. Easy 7.5 out of 10. I'm only giving it below an 8 because Rene Dupree's missing made a big difference for me. And Rene Dupree's not even my favorite wrestler, but it made a big difference. Watching Dupree versus Goji Ozaki would have been a huge co-main event here. Would have done wonders. Probably would have given it another point, making it an 8.5 show. I love that we have new tag team challengers here. That should be a great matchup. So I feel like if you missed this show, not the end of the world, but I would suggest watching it because there was some development here, especially in the tag team scene. And watch it and let me know what you think about Shuhei Taniguchi. Where's he going? What's he doing? Did that match interest you more than it interested me? Again, it was a fine match. Just didn't hold my interest in much, even though I watched it fully. Didn't take a break or anything like that. But another solid showing from Pro Wrestling Noah, Sunny Voyage, Friday, June 24, 7.5 out of 10. Solid show. Again, took about a point off of that because of Rene Dupree's absence. Nobody's fault. Nobody's fault. But I really would have liked to seen him versus Goji Ozaki. I really would have. We'll be back here in just a second to review Noah's upcoming shows. There's two of them to talk about because they'll be on before the next podcast. So we'll get them, I think I always say review, we'll get them previewed. We just did our review. We preview upcoming shows next. Welcome to the preview section of Mount Ararat Podcast. The first Pro Wrestling Noah show we're going to preview this week, the first of two, is on Saturday, July 2nd. It is a Sunny Voyage show from Fukushima. Let's take a look at the matches real quick. We're going to scroll down at the bottom because that's the opening match and work our way up. And a singles match kicking off the show is Manabu Soya, the enforcer of Congo, taking on Kenya Okada. Great matchup. This is exactly what I said in the last section, in the review section, that Manabu Soya needs. He needs to get in the ring with someone who will give him a good match, but he is pretty much assured the victory. And that's what we've got here. Manabu Soya will beat Kenya Okada. Not because Kenya Okada is not capable of beating Manabu Soya. He's just not ready yet. And Pro Wrestling Noah does not have Kenya Okada winning any type of match regularly yet. And he won't win here. Now, you can argue that Manabu Soya hasn't won regularly either. But this will be a good solid match between two tough son of a bitches that will give Manabu Soya a much needed win. I would love to see him face 2, 3, 4 more young guys in the next couple of shows to get him a winning streak going and hopefully making him a little bit more of a threat to some of the mainline guys. We'll see if that happens. Second match on this show is Muhammad Yone teaming with Alejandro. Very interesting match up there. Taking on Paros de Mal's Nosawa, wrong guy, and Super Crazy. Super Crazy just making his way back to Noah since that odd thing happened where Paros de Mal left Noah, Nosawa resigned from Noah, and then a few weeks later, Paros de Mal came back. But Super Crazy was not back until this show, so it's interesting seeing him come back here. This will be an interesting matchup. Muhammad Yone can hold his own against anybody. That doesn't mean Alejandro can't, but Alejandro is outsized by everybody in this match. We all know he'll rely on his high-flying luchadore-style antics, which will work well for him. But I see him being the weak link in this match, even though I like Alejandro. I like the non-Congo Alejandro, if you can believe that. Again, if somebody has benefited from leaving Congo, it has been Alejandro. His gear is cooler. His career trajectory is on the way up. So I don't insult him when I say this. I expect he'll be the one beaten down here by the bigger, tougher guys. Nosawa isn't a big guy, but he's just crazy. I mean, we'd be teaming with Super Crazy. So we got two nut jobs. Unless this match is thrown out because of Paros de Mal's antics, I think they win here by defeating Alejandro. Six-person matchup next, Hayata, Yuya Susumu, and Simon Gotch. We're talking about Stinger faction there. Taking on the former Stinger members, Seiki Yoshioka, and his tag team partners, Daiki Inaba and Kai Fujimura. Now, Yoshioka won a big match against Susumu just on the last show that we saw there. And not the last show, but the show before the last podcast, we talked about that show, about that match. And Yoshioka's not going to win here. Daiki Inaba is a great partner. Kai Fujimura is a young guy who's going to get his ass handed to him by Gotch, Susumu, and Hayata. That's who will lose this match, Fujimura. It kind of sucks when you see some of these young guys. I know this, guys. It's the theme of a lot of just about all the Japanese companies. You know, if you see a young guy in a match, 99% of the time, you know he's losing it. You know, he's there to take the pinfall. But that's how they train over there. That's how they get their guys ready, and I can't fault it. It will be enjoyable seeing Yoshioka and Susumu. My hope is that Susumu's woken up a little bit, realized that Yoshioka is selfish and only worried about himself, and stop worrying about their tag team. Now, I love their tag team. I think they were a great junior tag team. But Susumu needs to wake up, stop saying things like, oh, I'm just going to wait for Yoshioka to come back like he's some kind of jilted lover, and just beat the hell out of him. I think it would have been a better match with Susumu versus Yoshioka a few weeks ago if Susumu would have just taken a little more seriously. Meaning, if he just would have saw him as an opponent, not as a jilted friend. You know what I mean? An angry friend. And hopefully we see that here. I think we will see it from Hayata because, you know, this is a preview match with Yoshioka having an upcoming junior title match on that July 16th show, which is going to be a hell of a show. And Hayata will take it serious and will work over Yoshioka hard. So this will be very enjoyable. We got the rematch between Daiki Inaba and Simon Gotch in this match after Simon Gotch just recently defeated Daiki Inaba that we talked about on the last segment. But Kai Fujimura is the weak link in here, and he'll be the one that will go down. I'm confident of that. Another six-person match is next. We got the tough trio, Michael Elgin, Masaaki Tamiya, the GHC Tag Team Champions, teaming with their friend Yoshiki Inamura to take on the Segura Army's Timothy Thatcher, El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., and Rene Dupree, the returning Rene Dupree from his stomach bug. This will be brutal. This will be tough. This will be a Bull of the Woods match, if you will, daddy. Kind of match that yours truly, Adam Lavelle, loves. Hard to call this one, guys. Very hard to predict the winner here. Again, this is a preview, not really a preview match, sort of a preview match. We got one half of the team that's challenging for the tag titles, Timothy Thatcher here. Hideki Suzuki's not in this. But Wagner Jr. and Dupree are the former tag champions, and they're teaming with the next challenger, one half of the challengers for the tag champions, taking on the current tag champions and their good friend and fellow tough trio member, Yoshiki Inamura. Yoshiki Inamura, I predicted, would go down the last time that these three teamed up, and it was Masaaki Tamiya who went down to Timothy Thatcher. I say the tough trio gets some revenge here. I can't begin to say who would go down between Thatcher, Wagner Jr., and Rene Dupree. But Thatcher got the win over Masaaki Tamiya in their last match, so maybe Kitamiya gets the win over him this time. I think you got to even up the odds. You got to make it look like both teams could beat the other at any given second, any given day. So one way or another, the tough trio win this, I do believe. But I could be wrong. Absolutely, I could be wrong. Next, we got a tag team match. Goji Ozaki this time teams with Shuhei Taniguchi, the man that he just wrestled on the show we just reviewed. This time they're teaming up to take on Takashi Segura and Hideki Suzuki, who were the GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champions a couple months back out of that mini tournament that they had. Those two teamed up and won the titles. And here they're taking on the interesting team of Goji Ozaki and Shuhei Taniguchi. Now again, Taniguchi, respect him, like him, no issues with him, not doing anything since leaving Funky Express, so I suspect he'll lose here one way or another. The Segura Army is going to get the win here by taking out Shuhei Taniguchi, and it's just that simple. This will be good because Yozaki and Taniguchi will work hard and will look strong, and Goji Ozaki is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, but Segura and Suzuki get the win here over Taniguchi. Singles match. I think it's the only, there's only two singles matches on this whole show. This is the second and the last one. Yoshinari Ogawa takes on Katoru Suzuki. You know what? I don't even care how this goes. I just know it'll be great. I could sit here and opine about it, guys, but you know what this is going to be. It's going to be a gigantic brawl inside the ring, outside the ring, up and down the aisles. they're going to be using everything they can against each other. It will probably be thrown out. I hope not. But come on, it's Ogawa and Suzuki, it's Paris DeMaul and Stinger. If this match goes to an ending, I'll be shocked as hell. And if it does, it's hard to call a winner here. Ogawa is still one of the greatest wrestlers anywhere. One of the toughest wrestlers anywhere. Katoru Suzuki has a hell of a lot of respect for me. I don't understand why he's in Paris DeMaul. I don't think he fits in a whole lot. I think he's more... I don't think he has to be a babyface wrestler, but I just see him more of a pro wrestling Noah guy. I mean, his styles and tradition and look, I just do. But no, he's a Paris DeMaul guy, and it seems pretty solid. I'm predicting this match gets thrown out. I think it'll be a good 15-minute brawl fight, and then I think it'll be thrown out either because Stinger and Paris DeMaul will both come down and get involved, or somebody's going to use a chair or a title belt or something like that. That's just what I suspect. And yes, we are up to the last match on this show coming up on July 2nd. I'm recording this, just so you know, on June 28th, so we have got 4 days until this comes out. I'm hoping to get the podcast out tomorrow on Wednesday, Thursday at the absolute latest, but I think it'll be out Wednesday. This episode of the podcast will be out, I do believe, on the 29th. Keep an eye out. I always let you know on my social media about when the show is going to be uploaded, and then I'll let you know again once it is uploaded. But here we got a 10-man matchup. Again, not my favorite. I do not love 5 versus 5. It's too many men in the ring. 11 with the referee. It's hard to see sometimes because there's guys surrounding the entire apron, practically. And you got to get in there and try to see what's going on. You back somebody into a corner, you aren't going to see what move's being applied. Anyway, it is my boys Kongo, who I absolutely love. We got Hiroki. We got Hajime Ohara. We got Tadasuke. Katsuhiko Nakajima and Kenno. Taking on a team led by the current GHC heavyweight champion Satoshi Kojima, consisting of Kaito Kiyomiya, Atsushi Kotogi, Yohei, and Extreme Tiger. I'm going to predict Kongo, guys, just because they're my guys. I feel they need a win. I feel like I'm always saying that. I feel like Kongo doesn't win enough. They really don't win enough. The last preview match between Kenno and Kojima went to a 30-minute time limit draw on the show we just reviewed. This one, I think it has to have a winner, and I think the winner has to be Kenno. I just going in preparing for this match, which we're still a few weeks away from. My God, we're 2 weeks away at least, 2.5. So we got plenty of time to see these preview matches, but I think it's time Kenno won one. I think he doesn't necessarily have to pin Kojima here. I mean, the most pinnable here is probably Extreme Tiger. As much as I like him, I think he's the most pinnable here, Kotogi. Or the one to give up. But Hiroki has been sort of in the weeds since losing his hair and his name. So he could always be the one who loses for Kongo. But I think I'm going to predict Kongo win this. It'll be a good matchup for what it is. 5-on-5. Crazy to me. It's too many men. And that isn't an insult to Noah. I understand the point in and behind this match. I do. I get it. Just... yours truly isn't a big fan of 5-on-5. I will watch it and I will like it because it's Kongo. But I need a win and my boys need the win, especially for me to really get into this match the way I want to. Kenno needs a big win and I'd like to see him defeat Kojima. Just to give us the thought that, hey, this guy could likely win the title. But it'll be good for what it is, a 5-on-5 matchup. But I'm going to predict Kongo win. What do you think? The next show we're going to preview here on Mount Ararat Podcast is coming the very next day, July 3rd, from Yamagata Big Wing. It is a Sunny Voyage show, another Sunny Voyage show. Again, we got to scroll to the bottom so we can check this out from the opening match until the final match, which I'll discuss, break down to a degree, and give you my predictions. Let's get it going. The first match is a tag team match. Seki Yoshioka teaming with Kai Fujimura, taking on Tadasuke and Hiroki. Now look, Kai Fujimura is the young guy here. He's the guy who doesn't win many matches yet. He's working his way up. He's the brother of Alejandro, if you don't know that. I miss them teaming together. I feel like they were going somewhere. Maybe Noah split that apart because, again, Kai Fujimura is the young guy, not ready to be a big winner, and they were winning some tag matches looking good. So he... obviously is the guy who's going to lose this match, more than not. I don't know what Saiki Yoshioka is doing here. He is the challenger or for the upcoming battle on the 16th, July 16th, for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship, and he's opening the show here, teaming with Kai Fujimura. Seems a little bit odd. Hiroki needs a big win here. I personally, if I were booking Noah, which I'm not even close, but if I was, I would put Hiroki over Kai Fujimura. Hiroki needs a win. My God, he needs a win. Tadasuke got a huge win over Hal, driving him out of Pro Wrestling Noah. You know, loser leaves, and he is gone. Hal is out of Pro Wrestling Noah. So he doesn't need a win here. Yoshioka certainly doesn't need to take a loss here. I mean, I think his team could afford to lose, but he doesn't need a loss going in to challenge for the junior heavyweight title. Out of this matchup here, yes, Yoshioka might be the winner because he's challenging for the junior title. He could beat Hiroki easily and might be what happens. But I'm going to go with Hiroki beating Kai Fujimura. I think that's, I really believe Hiroki needs a win, and I would like to see him get it here. Wouldn't be a big, huge win. Wouldn't be a major deal beating Kai Fujimura. But I still would like to see it. I think this guy's been held down a little bit too much. Next, we have a singles match. Shuhei Taniguchi versus Simon Gotch. Interesting. Shuhei Taniguchi, again, I have complained time and again. You're probably getting tired of hearing it. That he really hasn't done much since leaving Funky Express. I mean, he's looked good. He's looked competitive. He's looked strong, but he hasn't won much, and he hasn't done anything to make me think he's going to be anything major in the world of Pro Wrestling Noah. Simon Gotch got a huge win against Daiki Inaba on the show that we reviewed at the beginning of the podcast, so he's coming in hotter than Shuhei Taniguchi here, in my personal opinion. Now, Taniguchi will be coming off a tag match with Goji Ozaki. Win or lose, that's going to make a difference in this matchup here. I predict Simon Gotch keeps his winning ways up simply because Taniguchi isn't really doing anything to rock me or set the world ablaze, and I think that probably continues. This will be a good match with Taniguchi using his strength to throw Gotch around, but Gotch using his technical prowess and skills to bring Taniguchi to the ground and outwork and out-wrestle him there. I'm going to predict getting the win for Simon Gotch. Should be an interesting, it's definitely going to be an interesting match. It's a different match, for sure. Now we got a tag team match. Yohei and Extreme Tiger taking on Atsushi Kotogi and Alejandro. I wish Kai Fujimura would jump up here with Alejandro and put Kotogi down there with Yoshioka, but I guess Yoshioka being a heel, you can't really do that, I guess, with the very big babyface Kotogi. But I miss Alejandro and his brother tag teaming together, but doesn't matter here. We've got Extreme Tiger and Yohei, the team that is on fire and looks poised to challenge for those junior tag belts before too long, against a former junior tag champions, Kotogi, and the high-flying Alejandro. Yohei and Extreme Tiger likely get the win here to continue their upward mobility toward those junior titles in what should be a solid match between four friends. Four friends. When you're friends, sometimes that can cause you to hold back a little bit. Yohei and Extreme Tiger. I'm not saying they will look weak or anything like that, but sometimes when you're wrestling friends, you're so worried about it being clean and scientific and by the book that sometimes you just don't give the effort you might get against someone that you don't care if you took out legitimately, right? But I think it'll still be enough. Yohei and Extreme Tiger just click. They have a special charisma as a team. I don't know what that is. I can't really explain it. Other than say it's the infamous it factor. They have it. They'll win this. It'll be good, though. Another tag team match. Katsuhiko Nakajima teaming with Hajime Ohara to take on Muhammad Yone and Kenya Okada. Now, what's interesting here is Yone and Okada against each other are magic. I love watching these two. If Kenya Okada doesn't get his first big singles win eventually against Muhammad Yone, I'm going to be a little sad. I really think that's what has to happen. And I'd love and respect Yone, but I think he has to have it in his head that eventually he's got to put this kid over. Here they got to work together, which I think their styles mesh pretty well, where Ohara and Nakajima's don't necessarily mesh extremely well. There are my Congo guys. I love them. But, and I'm not saying they won't win this, because they likely will. Kenya Okada's going to go down. likely to Nakajima. Nakajima will just kick the living hell out of him and get the win. Ohara will fight him well as well, but I think Nakajima gets a win here, maybe even knocking Kenya Okada out with this big knockout slap that took the DDT champion, spit it out at him, down and out at the Cyber Fight Festival. And maybe this will make Muhammad Yone angry, and him and Kenya Okada will argue, and this will lead to more singles matches with those two. Let's hope that's what happens. And we got a six-person tag team match. We got Stinger, Hayata, Yoshinira Ogawa, and Yuya Susumu taking on Perros de Mal de Japón, Nosawa Rongai, Kotaro Suzuki, and Super Crazy. Now, I just predicted on the matchup before this on July 2nd that the match between Kotaro Suzuki and Yoshinira Ogawa would probably get thrown out. So I don't want to predict that again, but my God, it happens a lot between these two teams. They battle and fight and brawl so badly that many of their matches just don't see a finish. I can't predict that again when I just predicted it on the last one. So I'm going to say Stinger wins this. I think Nosawa Rongai is the weak link of his team. I think he's a hell of a leader. I have nothing against his booking, but the way some people do. But I think he is the weak link in this team. Now, Super Crazy, some people would say that, but I think Super Crazy is bigger, stronger, a little bit scarier than Nosawa. That's just my personal opinion. And I don't see Hayata, Ogawa, or Susumu losing. Susumu can't really afford to lose. He just lost, you know, a few weeks ago to his former tag team partner. I don't think he really can afford to lose here. Ogawa shouldn't hardly ever lose. And Hayata is the junior heavyweight champion. Now, there's no preview here. You'd think they would have thrown this match down here that we talked about, Tsuyuki Yoshioka, in this matchup. But he's not going to team with Perros de Mal, right? So that's not going to happen. So there can't be a preview match. Not in this situation, because he's a lone wolf, right? He's not part of Perros de Mal, so of course they can't do that. But I am kind of missing him here on some level, if that makes any kind of sense. Again, I say Hayata, Ogawa, and Susumu win this when somebody, probably Hayata, pins Nosawa. But it'll be a hell of a fight, because these two units constantly are a hell of a fight. Then we got a regular tag team matchup. Interesting here, Satoshi Kojima, the GHC Heavyweight Champion, teaming with Daiki Inaba to take on Kenno and Manabu Soya. Now I pause here because Manabu Soya can't beat anybody. I hate talking that way. Love the guy. Love Kongo. Love the enforcer role. But isn't he the weak link here based on everything we've seen for months on end? Now, in the last show, he wrestled Kenya Okada. I suspect he wins that. And I think he needs a win here. I would love to see Manabu Soya defeat Daiki Inaba here. But this is a preview match, Kojima versus Kenno, for the GHC Heavyweight title that's going to be on July 16th. So the focus really is and should be on those two. But because I have a strong desire to see the redemption of Manabu Soya, I want to say Kongo wins this when Soya pins Daiki Inaba, but I don't see it happening. I don't see it happen. I see Kojima pinning Manabu Soya to get the win here in a pretty good fight. Finally, the main event. Another 10-man tag. I don't want to say I don't care. I love all these guys. Look at this. The Segura Army versus Goji Ozaki, Kaito Kiyomiya, Michael Elgin, Masaaki Tamiya, and Yoshiki Inamura. I mean, my God, Ozaki and Kiyomiya, two of the best in the world, teaming up with the Tough Trio. Wonderful. And the Segura Army, arguably the best unit in wrestling. I'm a Kongo guy, but come on. Takashi Segura, Hideki Suzuki, Timothy Thatcher, El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., and Rene Dupree. These are 10 kick-ass wrestlers that I think the world of, that I would put on a list of top 10 anywhere and not blink. But man, I'm tired of 10-man tag teams. I'm going to watch this. And occasionally a 10-man tag team will blow my mind. It'll be so good. And if any 10 can blow my mind, it's these 10. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. But again, it's too many men. It's 11 men with the ref and I don't know. I'd rather see that tag team match as the main event. And again, not because I don't love and respect the hell out of these men. But 5 versus 5 is just over the top for me. And I hate talking any kind of negativity towards or about Noah, because even if you give me a card full of 10-man tags, I'd still love Pro Wrestling Noah. But I can't be dishonest about myself and about my feelings and wishing, you know, 3-on-3 is the most a tag team should ever be. 6-man tag, it should never be more than that under any circumstance. Give me an extra match, even though that would make the show a little bit longer, which I sometimes complain about. I don't like super long shows, but I'd rather have a show that's 15, 20 minutes longer that doesn't have one single 10-man tag team match on it. That's just me. Who's going to win this one? Damn tough to call. For only the second time since doing this podcast, you make the call. Who's going to win this? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a preview for the upcoming tag team championships on the 16th, where Elgin and Kitamiya defend against Suzuki and Thatcher, because all four are in this match. But I can't really focus that much on that because it's 5 versus 5. It's going to be solid work. It's going to be great wrestling. I'm going to watch it from start to finish, all the while wishing it wasn't 5-on-5, no matter how much I like these guys. I mean, make it Suzuki and Thatcher and Zagura versus the Elgin, Kitamiya, and Inamura, and then give us Goji Ozaki and Kaito Kiyomiya versus the former tag champions, Wagner Jr. and Rene Dupree. Bam! There you go. 2 great matches. This will be a great match, but it's too much of a cluster. Break it down the way I just did, and you have 2 amazing matches, and neither one would be a cluster. And I'm leaving this wide open. I don't know who's going to win this. It's too hard to call, but if I tell you who I hope, look, I'm a bigger fan of Elgin and Kitamiya. They're my guys. Love Thatcher, love the Segura Army. I do. But Elgin's my guy, Gene, you know, by far. And his team with Kitamiya, I really, really like. So I guess I'll predict them. What the hell? I'll predict Goji Ozaki's team wins this. But tell me what you think about it, guys. That's the end of our preview section. Can't wait for these shows. They're going to be good back-to-back days. Let's see. Let me look at something real quick. 2nd and 3rd. I normally would be off because it is the 4th of July holiday. But I volunteered to work in the morning. And these will be on in the morning. So I'll watch these as soon as I can. But I haven't gotten word if my department at my workplace is going to be open. They have to have a certain number of people volunteer in order to run the department. Right now, it's real close whether we're going to be able to do it. My supervisor's probably going to let me know Thursday. So if I'm off, I'll have these watched and reviewed quickly. If I'm not, I will get to them as soon as I can. But they'll be on the next podcast for sure. We're going to go into the final segment of the show coming up next. It is the Noah News, brought to you from Hisami's Noah's Archive. Stay tuned. Hey folks, welcome to the final segment of this week's Mount Ararat podcast. As always, we finish with the news of Noah from Noah's Archive, brought to you by Hisami, well known by everyone in the circles of pro wrestling Noah. She's a great interpreter here, does many good things. The link to the site where you can read this newsletter, and you send her your email, sign up, subscribe, and it'll come to your email every week. But you can go to her site. It calls Noah's Archives at puroprogramstranslations.blogspot.com. Always linked in the description of this video, the Mount Ararat podcast videos all the time. Click the link, see everything she has to offer there. It's unbelievable the amount of information you can ascertain as a non-Japanese speaking pro wrestling Noah fan. Trust me, you'll thank me. This week's newsletter is volume number 178, and it covers the week of June 28th. That's today, starting Monday, June 28th, going forward for the next week. And let's check it out. In the news, Hideki Suzuki and Timothy Thatcher challenge for the GHC heavyweight tag team titles. Masa Kitamiya had been saying for a long time that he and Michael Elgin were looking for a strong challengers, but lamented that none had come forward yet. The challengers they had been looking for came forward following Timothy Thatcher making Masa Kitamiya tap in Yokohama on the 24th of June, and Hideki Suzuki challenged for the belts on their behalf. The title match will take place on the 16th of July at the Budokan. That's going to be a great matchup. The tag champions had not had challengers since winning the belts, since winning those titles, Elgin and Kitamiya, defeating Rene Dupree and El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. I don't want to say handily, it was a great match, but they defeated them, took them out, again, not with ease, but close to it, in my opinion, and looked dominant, put it that way. They looked really strong in that matchup. And they've been waiting for challengers ever since. And here we've got them, Timothy Thatcher and Hideki Suzuki, on July 16th for those titles. Goji Ozaki and Shuhei Taniguchi reunited. Following their singles match in Yokohama this past week, a fire seems to have been lit between Shuhei Taniguchi and Goji Ozaki. The match was never originally meant to happen, but the card was changed at the last moment. During the match, Taniguchi, the monster, is yet to awaken fully, which is true. He can be a monster, but he's been kind of laid back. He fought Ozaki in a way that convinced Ozaki that Taniguchi had finally returned. No doubt Taniguchi seniors were pleased too, as Taniguchi was even throwing lariats. After the match, Ozaki hinted about tagging with Taniguchi again, and they will do this on Noah's next event on July 2nd, which we have already previewed in the last segment. But Taniguchi was sort of teased and you know, mocked for being part of the Funky Express by many of his senior wrestlers. They felt that he was more valuable than that it was wasting his time. He finally listened to them and left the Funky Express to get more serious, and we have not seen the monstrous side of Taniguchi yet since leaving the Funky Express. He's been more serious, he isn't messing around, but we just haven't seen the monster that he can be. Goji Ozaki, in the match that they had recently that we already spoke about earlier in this program, feels that he saw something special in Taniguchi. He saw something come out, and he's willing to start working with him in a tag team again. They teamed some time back, I believe. They're former GHC heavyweight tag team champions. I'm pretty sure that they are, or were. And they're going to start working together again based on that matchup where Goji Ozaki had to work hard to defeat Taniguchi. So we'll see where that goes going forward. Interesting. Kenno Kojima, the timeout draw in 1,000 squats. Kenno and Satoshi Kojima came to a timeout draw in Yokohama, and then Kojima's sense of humor and Kenno's hidden one, he's kind of like Toshiki Kawada in this, I'm not familiar with that reference, came to the fore when Kojima tried to close out the show. Kenno snatched the mic and told him this wasn't New Japan, and those who didn't win don't close out the show. The mention of New Japan made Kojima tell Kenno to run off home and do 1,000 squats, something, you know, a senior might tell a junior wrestler. After a few minutes of snatching the mic between them and bickering, "You go home, no, you go home," Kenno stalked backstage and did squats very loudly. Yokohama Radiant Hall is a small venue, and so anything loud, such as the Noah Juniors fighting, can be heard by the audience, and Kenno knew this, and so everyone could hear him doing squats and counting loudly. Kojima went backstage and confronted Kenno. Kojima acknowledged that he couldn't beat Kenno in a verbal argument, and they got into a physical fight. Then it went slightly off the rails again when Kenno pulled out the platform truck and held the folding chairs, to which Kojima told him that if he broke any equipment, then he would have to pay for it. Kenno said he didn't care. Kojima said he knew he did. Kenno was a cheap bastard. Kenno stomped off, telling Kojima to go back to New Japan. So see there in the GIF there, you see a little bit of the brawl that happened backstage when Kenno was mockingly starting to do the 1,000 squats that Kojima told him to do, which led to a verbal brawl. Now, interesting that Kojima admits he's not going to defeat Kenno in a verbal brawl, in a promo battle. That's not going to happen. So they get into a physical fight, and basically it breaks up as they stomp away from each other. That match is coming up on July 16th as well. Kenno versus Kojima for the GHC Heavyweight Championship. Sickness bug hits Noah. A sickness bug hit Noah over the N Innovation and Yokohama Radiant Hall events when Daisuke Harada, for whom it is very unusual to be ill, and Alejandro came down with fevers, and Rene Dupree came down with gastroenteritis. It's a stomach virus. The result of this was that Daisuke Harada was replaced by Extreme Tiger. Shuhei Taniguchi moved from the opener to the singles with Goji Ozaki, and Atsushi Kotogi and Satoshi Kojima filled in. Kojima happily took part in working the N Innovation and the opening match at that. He even appeared without the GHC heavyweight title. Kojima had a fight with Tsuji Kondo, which was a continuation of a long dormant rivalry, while Atsushi Kotogi took part in the heavyweight Yokohama night, and Kenya Okada managed to bruise the neck of Akitoshi Saito so much that he even put it on his official Twitter. Seki Yoshioka, Yuya Susumu, and Hayata. The Hiroshima boys have fallen apart in a spectacular fashion. All three of these guys are from Hiroshima, and their relationship have just crumbled. Yuya Susumu attempted a reconciliation at the end of Innovation, but both before the match and after it. Seki Yoshioka, who won the match with him and Susumu, refused to shake hands. First time he attacked, the second time he just left the ring. Susumu, who Hisami notes here, who she gets the impression knows what both Yoshioka and Hayata are like and how to handle them best, said that he would wait for Yoshioka to return, and he knew that he would eventually. This wasn't Yoshioka's last appearance of the evening, as when Hayata defeated Hajime Ohara in a match that Hayata found Ohara had studied for, Yoshioka came to challenge for the GHC junior title. Hayata, believing that he and Yoshioka were still friends, said that he would be happy to put the belt on the line against him and went for a handshake. Yoshioka treated him the same way he had treated Susumu, with a swift kick. So backstage, Yoshioka elaborated on his decision to leave Stinger. He had done this in order to challenge Hayata. It was unavoidable. If he wanted to go to the top of the Noah Juniors, then that road led through Hayata. Title match has been set, also for the 16th of July at the Budokan. Now see, I mentioned this, I'm not going to harp on this for long because I already talked about this when we were doing our reviews and our preview section. It doesn't make sense to me. Yoshioka clearly could have wrestled Hayata as a faction member, as a unit member, as a member of Stinger. So the only thing I could think of is Yoshioka needs to be more motivated. He doesn't want to wrestle a friend. He wants to wrestle angry. He wants to wrestle with a chip on his shoulder. So he left his unit and cheap shotted several of the members, including Hayata here, on his way to challenge for the junior championship. That's the only thing I can think of, because, again, Stinger will wrestle Stinger. They have no problems with that. So this is all Yoshioka's issue and problem. I think he just wants to be angry. I think he wants to be a lone wolf. I think he sees that as his best opportunity to hold a singles title. That's the way I look at it. He hasn't said that. That's how I view it. Open the Triangle Gate update and GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Challenge. As ever in the Noah Juniors, things can be a little complicated. To explain from the beginning, with Daisuke Harada falling ill with a fever and being unable to compete, Dragon Gate GM Ryo Saito, advised that the Open the Triangle Gate would be vacated and Paros de Mal de Hopon, Nosawa, Eita, and Kotaro Suzuki would face the Noah Junior regulars, Atsushi Kotogi, Yohei, and Extreme Tiger, for those titles. Paros won and once again became the champions. That same night, Yoshinori Ogawa crashed their backstage promo and slapped Kotaro in the face. Ogawa was beaten down by all three and thrown in the ring, where Eita challenged Ogawa and Chris Ridgeway for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles. That will happen at Budokan on July 16th as well. That's shaping up to be an incredible card. Chris Ridgeway says that they will defend their titles and take their Open the Triangle Gate titles as well. So now it sounds to me like Ridgeway, accepting the challenge from Paros de Mal for the GHC Junior titles, will then challenge Paros de Mal for those Open the Triangle Gate six-man titles after that match at some point. Despite Paros' show of unity and Eita challenging for the GHC Junior tag titles with Katoro Suzuki as his partner, there are cracks appearing in Paros de Mal, in particular between Nosawa and Katoro, as once again Nosawa interrupted him backstage and treated him as if he did not know how to act like a heel. Kotaro has been winding up the Noah Jr. since his debut, which he went straight back to when he returned to Noah, and mocked him for sounding like a babyface. Kotaro did not turn up in Dragon Gate the next day. Ryo Saito asked where he was, but he did for the title defense against Natural Vibes. Following this, Nosawa nominated Yamamoto to be the next challenger. Yamamoto will come to Noah to challenge for the belts on the 21st alongside Dragon Kid and Kaktora? I don't know how to pronounce these Dragon Gate guys' names. I'm sorry. So, hopefully you followed all that. I mean, this is a battle. The Trios titles, the Open the Dragon Gate titles, will be on the line in Noah on the 16th as well. The 21st. So, that's a little after. It's not on that amazing card. It's a week after. And then after that, Ridgeway and Ogawa is saying they want to have a partner, someone from Stinger, I'm sure, to challenge for those six-man titles after they say they successfully defend their junior titles. So it's a lot of information there, a lot of championships, two different companies. Hopefully you're following along, understand it. I get it, but that's a lot of information. You can always go to the site and read it for yourself if I didn't interpret it well enough for you. Now here we get something interesting. Hal leaves Noah and vanishes. Okay, Hal lost the very first ever Loser Leaves Noah match against Tadasuke and left Noah. He has deleted his main Twitter account, but not the Twitter account of his masked character, Kenbei. I believe that's how you say it, Kenbei. Let's take a look at Kenbei, okay? That is Kenbei. That is Hal under a mask. He wrestled in the Kaientai Dojo and some other places, I think maybe DDT, under this mask. Kenbei is apparently some samurai-style dancer that uses a big katana blade. Sounds a little out there to me, but, you know, hey, sometimes you just don't understand everything in Japanese culture. But that, again, that is Hal's masked character. His Twitter is still out there, okay? As far as I know, Hasami knows, he has not been booked anywhere else. Tadasuke is elated at Hal's departure, saying he had no choice in kicking him out. But then again, he didn't care. Hal stole his friend's name and his hair and had left Kongo on his own accord. Tadasuke quipped that now Hal wouldn't have to see his face. So here, obviously, I mean, I can't say obviously, I don't know for sure, but it seems like Kenbei, this masked character of Hal, will probably be making an appearance and Pro Wrestling Noah. And this is a very Western thing. I'm kind of surprised Japan is doing this. Where a guy loses a Loser Leaves match, goes away for a little while, and suddenly a masked wrestler comes back and wrestles just like the man that was banished from the company. And the heels throw a fit and say that that's who it is. This isn't right. He's cheating. And it gets everybody all worked up. I suspect that's the angle they're going to go with here, where Kenbei comes in. Kongo knows who he is, and it just starts a feud. And where it goes from there, we'll have to wait and see. But that's what I suspect is going on here. Hal's not really out of Noah. He's just, this is an angle. This is a story, if you will, of him coming back, seeking his revenge under a mask. And when and how, no pun intended, Hal will get back to Hal. I don't know. But I suspect it'll lead to him being reinstated eventually after this angle runs its course. We'll wait and see. Maybe this won't happen at all. But as a Western guy, this is how I see this. And I've seen it play out probably half a dozen times in American wrestling over my lifetime. There's a fan meeting in 2022. Let's enjoy the N1 100 times. To promote the N1, Noah will be holding events in Nagoya, Sendai, Osaka, and Hiroshima over the 23rd and the 24th of July. Kano, Katsuhiko Nakajima, Kaito Kiyomiya, and Goji Ozaki will be taking part, each partner alienating between talk shows and lotteries on the date and autographs and photo sessions on the other. So there's some pretty big stars out there going to appear for autographs and personal pictures and stuff. I mean, I'm kind of jealous of that situation that Noah fans over there in Japan get to partake of. Elsewhere in the Noah news, El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. defeated Manabu Soya, then declared war on the rest of Kongo, who he said he would take out one by one. We already spoke about that earlier in the show. Good luck with that. Naomichi Marufuji joked on Twitter that since he cannot drink currently, he will offer the prize money for the drinking challenge to the host who could outdrink everyone, and that he was looking for a powerful wrestler to host his YouTube show. So that's interesting. He's looking, Marufuji has a YouTube show where he drinks, especially with the Noah Juniors, and it's kind of ridiculous and silly. Not the end of the world, but not really for me. And he's looking for someone to take his place and continue to drink to see who can handle their alcohol the best there in Pro Wrestling Noah. Kai Fujimura made the mistake of trying to attack Yoshinira Ogawa the moment the bell rang during their match. We already covered that. And Hisami notes that she need not elaborate on the outcome. No, I mean, the match ended so quick it was ridiculous because Fujimura made the mistake of attacking Ogawa earlier, and Ogawa was not going to work with him in that situation. He's just going to beat him down and embarrass him, and that's what happened. Yohei says he's growing a beard. Random, but interesting. Yohei is a legitimate babyface, if you know what I mean. He's like the pretty boy of Pro Wrestling Noah, and he's going to grow a beard. It almost sounds like something a heel might do. Takashi Segura will be back in 01 on the 18th of July when the Bullet Yankees reunite to take on Koji Kanemoto and Tatsuhito Takawa. Probably pronounced both of those names wrong. But that's interesting. The Bullet Yankees reuniting. That is Takashi Segura and Tanaka. Masato Tanaka. And these gentlemen, they're taking on... he's coming back to 0-1. Okay, so that's not going to happen in NOAH. 0-1 and 18th. Takashi Segura took some time away from 0-1 after being involved in that unfortunate match that led to Ohtani apparently being paralyzed. It's a shame. But he's coming back to reunite with his old partner in the Bullet Yankees to take on two guys in 0-1. I don't get to see 0-1 very often. When CyberFight puts it up, or I can find a download of it somewhere, I'll check it out. I don't mind it. I don't love it. There's some aspects of it that are very good, and there's some aspects of it I like it better than DDT. Let's just leave it at that. Katsuhiko Nakajima has posted a video of himself having his hair curled with the comment, you can see it here, with the comment that he would be returning to something that has been a year since then. So he had his head shaved in a matchup that he lost, and that was part of the stipulation. And it looks like he's going to come back with the spirally curls all over his head. Some people love that. I'm indifferent to it. I don't really care what kind of hairstyle the man has, as long as he keeps knocking people out. Seki Yoshioka has returned to his pre-Stinger ring clothes, so he's wearing gear that he wore before joining Stinger to just reinforce the idea that he's no longer part of Stinger. Naomichi Marufuji is aiming to return to the ring in August. Let's hope this man, the genius of the arc, can do it. He's been away for a little while with knee issues that had, I think it was microscopic surgery that he needed. I'm sure he has to rehab and rest a little bit with that. So let's look forward to the genius of the arc, Marufuji, returning in August. Hopefully that's the case. Yoshiki Inamura had a rough and an ovation. We reviewed that show already. First of all, he had to very gently remove a chair from an angry Kaito Kiyomiya, who was going to use it on Shuji Kondo. He had to move fans for a move that Eita didn't do in order to confuse Yohei, and then was used as a weapon by Nosawa Ranke. So she's just noting here that Inamura was involved in several incidents at the N Innovation show that wasn't thrilling, wasn't exciting, you know, for him. He had to pull a chair away from Kiyomiya. He had to move fans out of the way for a move that Kondo was going to do, but he didn't do it to confuse Yohei. And then Nosawa actually sort of threw him, picked him up sort of, and threw him as a weapon in their match. So just a little bit of a rough night for Inamura that evening. Aizami talks about some of the stuff she has on her page here, an innovation recap, post-match interviews. Sometimes I do them, sometimes I don't. Go to the site and see what the guys, what the wrestlers had to say after the matches. Go to Aizami's Noah's Archive and check that out. She recaps Sunny Voyage and does the post-match interviews here as well, and interprets them so you can read them in English. Great work. Don't miss out on that. This week in NOAH, we've already previewed these two matches, July 2nd and July 3rd. The information is here. It's there on Aizami's site. It's here with my discussion of each match on Mount Ararat Podcast. There's some links here that she adds up, and that's pretty much all the NOAH news for this week. She normally recaps the champions. I know who the champions are, but she doesn't have them listed here. Not her fault. I just don't see any need to go over it. You guys know who the champions are and who the next challengers are. If not, that's not hard to find out. That is the news for this week out of Pro Wrestling NOAH. Again, thanks to Aizami and the NOAH's Archive. And this has been Mount Ararat Podcast, Episode 20. I'm Adam Lavelle of WrestlingDoneRight.com, the NOAH Network. Please subscribe to the channel. Please, I'm begging you, subscribe. Not for me, but for Pro Wrestling NOAH. Ring the bell for notifications if you want to be alerted every time I upload a video, because sometimes I upload videos other than this podcast. You want to check them out. And share. Share this out there on the social media everywhere. Let's get people looking for Wrestling Done Right onto the arc. Pro Wrestling NOAH. And I'll see you again next week. Oh, yeah. が光で染まった。始まりを告げる鐘の音が君も聞こえるかい。波
Yeah.